Well, good morning, everyone. Let us begin. Well, I have a question to ask you this morning, and I'll ask you a little bit later, but it's a question that very personal and something only you know, but yet I think we'll see from Scripture today you really don't know the answer. So, if you know what that is already, then we can just leave. Anyway, I want to begin this morning by singing hymn 137, if you would turn there. Father, we just thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can pray together this morning, and Lord, that we have that exhortation, that invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to find mercy, in order to find help in time of trouble. And so here we are, Lord, so much to pray for, mindful that you hear our prayers and mindful that our prayers will be answered if they are made in accordance with your will. And so lead us and guide us now as we look at your word, just a few minutes, and then we get into prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking about loving God today, and so let us begin with singing 137, More Love, More Love, More Love. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. So this morning my question is, how much do you love God? How much do you love God? And do we not want to love him more? If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the beginning statements there of Paul leaving Athens, having given a great message with much wisdom, and coming to the Corinthians and saying, I know only one thing, not with words of wisdom do I come and preach, but just one thing, to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it goes on a little bit later in that same second chapter there, and says this well-known verse, really. It's a verse from Isaiah 64, and he quotes it, and he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I was looking at that verse a little earlier this week, and I was just thinking how many times I've heard that verse referred to at funerals. And it is a good verse because it does apply to heaven, obviously. But I think it also, in the context here that Paul's writing, it applies here to earth. Because he's talking about Christ crucified. He's talking about Christ crucified and what he has done for us. And then he's talking about the Spirit being poured out upon us. And this, through the Spirit, we have this awareness that eye had not seen, nor ear had heard, nor has entered the heart of man up until this time. And so we have this great mystery now being revealed by Christ crucified. And just wanted to just hit a few of the high points on what place God has prepared for us, or what things God has prepared for us. And so as you just think of what was done through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's just mind-blowing, just mind-blowing. A few years ago, Dr. Ironside, about 7,500 years ago, great teacher, great expositioner, great lecturer, a great proponent of the gospel, was giving this lecture, and he gave this lecture, and afterward a guy came up and handed him a card. He recognized immediately the name as one of the well-known agnostics of that day and a debater of agnosticism versus the gospel. And on the back of the card says, I challenge you to a debate a week from tonight, to debate agnosticism versus Christianity. And I know you've heard this story, but I think it's worth repeating because it drives home a point of being transformed, being transformed. And so Dr. Ironside looked at the card and took the podium again, and he said, I've been challenged to a debate a week from tonight to debate agnosticism versus Christianity by this gentleman here, and he said, I just want to accept that challenge on one condition. Looking at the man, said that you bring one man whose life has been destroyed by alcoholism, and he's going to the bottom of the pit, and after he heard your lecture on agnosticism, was transformed into a useful life. And bring one woman who's been taken out of prostitution, who's been taken out of drug use, who was at the bottom of her life and was transformed and has now come into a wonderful, useful life. And he said, I'll bring 100 men whose lives have been transformed, and I'll bring 100 women whose lives have been transformed. And the guy shrugged his shoulders and walked out of the crowd. But one of the things that we have through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a transformed life, isn't it? And we have the most unbelievable job or opportunity in the world to be chosen to give this message, haven't we not? Because there's no other message out there has anything like this. But it's a message that we cannot really understand. It's a message that we have not seen or heard through man's wisdom. It's a message that even in our hearts we couldn't dream up. Nobody could come up with this but God, could he? And so what are the advantages? A transformed life, to be sure, right? We are saved for eternity. We have our sins forgiven. And not only forgiven, but God will never bring them up again, right? So then we are justified. That's a big fancy word, which I like it, just as if. Just as if we had never sinned. Not only forgiving our sins, but it's just as if we had never sinned. Can you imagine that? And we're told in Jude, as we talked about, I think, last week, that Christ will present us faultless. Now, I can kind of understand him presenting you faultless, but I can't understand him presenting me faultless. There's too many faults here. But he doesn't see them, does he? Because of the power of the gospel, because of what he's done for us. He's cleansed us by his blood, hasn't he? And he continues to cleanse us. So we're justified, and then we're glorified. We have the promise of eternal life, don't we? An heir of his kingdom forever. Isn't that something? And then we're sanctified, aren't we? Not only by saving faith, but the faith that comes through living for him and the change, being transformed. What do we read in 1 Corinthians 3:18 or 2 Corinthians 3:18? We are transformed from his glory to our glory, right, into the same image of Christ by the Holy Spirit, an inside work. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. So we're sanctified. So you put this all together and you say, wow, is that awesome or what? And then he says, and you'll have peace and joy. And he says, you'll be enabled to walk in the Spirit and not in the things of the flesh. And so that is just such an awesome thing, isn't it? But there's a little bit of a condition in that. It says we can't understand what? The things that God has prepared for those what? Who love him. So it comes back full circle in a way. Do I love God? And I like to say, oh yeah, I love God. Well, that's good. But he said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And then he goes right around and tells us what his, basically just two commandments are. The first commandment is what? To love him with just a little bit of my heart, just a little bit of my soul. Is that what it says? It says with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. So how much do I love God? I have to confess, I don't know. Because I don't know my heart. I don't know my mind. I don't know myself. All I know is I'd like to love him more. And he will help you because he's given you that command to do it. Therefore, he will enable you to do it. And then the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. But that wasn't even the ending second commandment, was it? Because on the night Jesus was to be arrested and then crucified the next morning, he said, what? A new commandment I give to you. actually that word really be fresher, an updated would really be a better translation there in a sense. But a new commandment I give to you, what? That you love one another, not as you love yourself, but what? As I have loved you. Now that's a much higher level of love, isn't it? That's a total sacrificial love, as Christ has loved us. So love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love others as you have been loved. So as you answer that question, how much do I love God? We will come to the conclusion, I think, that I really don't know. My eye has not seen, my ear has not heard, and has really entered into my heart, really, how much I love him. But I want to love him more. And he has to enable us through his Spirit to do that, doesn't he? But he will, and he has. So as we go to prayer this morning, may we go in thanksgiving. May we also go with intercession to pray for those who are proclaiming this good news, with the body of Christ, which is the church, for missionaries, and for the church itself, which is what? Us, the people, that we would be loving him and that we would be sharing that good news with others. And we would, enabled with the Spirit, we would not be grieving the Spirit, we would not be resisting the Spirit, grieving the Spirit through sin and resisting the Spirit and quenching the Spirit, right? So let us go to prayer, and we will be led by the Spirit, and as such, our prayers should be short. I don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to take any one of us and says, now you do all the praying for the group this morning. I've especially anointed you. So as we respond to the Spirit, we're all in one accord because it's the same Spirit, and we're responding to him. We ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.